Perek Yud Beis, Seif Vav. Finishing the Perek. We were learning the last few weeks but how it's impossible to separate between the Shari Oira of Bina Hativis, the natural Seder of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a healthy world. A healthy, breathing, normal world with a natural natia of all that exists is toiv, is good. And there's that underlying layer of the Asar Ma'amaris, the 10 utterances of creation, the Arulikin is Kol Asher Asav, and Itoiv Ma'oid, that everything is good. And because of that underlying layer of existence of Toiv, one who tries can hear the Kol Hashem HaPoshet, can hear the simple voice of Hashem, which is Kar B'Koyach Aldeik Shai Ere Hativ. On top of that, higher than that simple voice of Hashem is the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us, Bifat, specifically, the Am Kaddish, through the Aseres HaDivros, through Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And we were learning how it's forbidden to tear these two worlds apart. It's forbidden to tear them apart. And if we tear them apart, then we're torn apart. And one has to continue throughout our 120 years of listening to the Dvar Hashem as it emerges, as it comes to us through Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, as it comes to us through all the Pilpulim and through all the Machshavos and all the Svar Makadoshim and all the Poskim and so on, to continue to hear the Kol Hashem HaPoshet that's resonating throughout creation, which is the sound of Shir Hashir Mashir L'Shlom. We're talking about last week. In Sivav, we look at things from the other direction. Al Yachshav Adam She'ev She'luchya Eschaim Ruchaniyim B'lo Yara Tayr. Now here we have a different kind of a person. And this is very, very common. The same way that we can't live a true life of Torah without listening to the simple kol pasha, the simple sound of God in creation that's telling us to grow, like the malach that's giving a clap on the blade of grass on each and every one of us. So too, the other way, that if a person would like to live, let's say, chayim pshutim, a simple life of ruchnius, a Jew would like to live a simple life of Ruchnius, to be a spiritual person and to live a life of spirituality. He loves the simple sound of God in creation. He loves the 10 utterances of creation. He loves the marshal of Shir Hashir. He loves being in love with people. He loves being in love with God. But this individual's problem is that he's having a hard time with Chumash Rashi. Yeah, he's having a hard time with Hamafkid Ne'el Metzias. He's having a hard time with the more complicated, with the richer sound of Hashem and the deeper sound of Hashem that's coming out from the Aseres HaDibros. It's the other way. So Ayachshav Adam, Rav Kook writes, a person shouldn't think. Ayachshav Adam She'ef She'luchyas Chaim Ruchaniyim. You shouldn't think that you can live a spiritual life without the light of Torah. He's speaking to us. You could feel very, very spiritual. We've spoken about this many times. And if you close the lights and you put on the right to music, and you're a person that's connected to the Kol Hashem HaPoshet, you feel a connection to the simple sound of Shir Hashir. And you could imagine yourself being an Ish Ruach, a person of great ruchnius, great spirituality. You can't live chaim ruchnius without the light of Torah. Whatever a guy is capable of, that's something else. A ben Noach. Is a Ben Noach able to have some spiritual life in the absence of Taurus Maisha? Clearly, he can't. Whatever that means, we're not going into it now. But as far as a Jew is concerned, he can't live a true Chaim Ruchnim B'loi Or HaTorah. He can't settle for the Kol Hashem HaPoshet, for the Moshel of Shir Hashim. He can't settle for that. Ayachshav Adam She'ef Shaluchias Chaim Ruchnim B'loi Or HaTorah. Kishem She'ef Shaluchias B'loi Or V'Avir. The same way that it's impossible to live without light and without air, without oxygen, without food and drink. Even more so. It's impossible to live without Chayas HaTorah. So you could ask, of course, a very big question. You could ask a very strong question. That we do see, Rav Kook asks this question, of course, right away. We do see many, many people, many wonderful Jews, who are not connected to the Aseres HaDibros, meaning they're not connected to the entire system of halacha. They're not connected to Torah, and yet they appear to be spiritual people. Now, they're sincere people. It's not a question here of sincerity. Nobody here is making a show. If you're telling us, Rav Kook is saying, if we understand that more than a human being needs oxygen and food and water and so on to live, a Jew needs Torah. But the reality is that we see b'nei adam rechaikim min ha-Torah, that are far, far removed from Torah. We see people are very far from Torah. B'chai. And they live. They're alive. Physically alive. But they seem to be spiritually alive. Not only that, but oftentimes we see people like that and they appear to be much more spiritually alive than us. And if they would walk into one of our minchas or something, or to a shachris on a regular day, and they catch us in the middle of a yawn, or mumbling a couple of words while looking for the exit, they would be horrified that we consider ourselves to be the representatives of God in the world. The Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those who bear the truth of Torah, when we seem to be so non-spiritual, and oftentimes not just non-spiritual, but anti-spiritual. So it's a kasha. Not, of course, going to those, that's all that we talk about this evening. V'imroim onu b'nei adam rechaikim l'Torah v'chaim. I, we see people that are far from Torah, and they're alive. They're alive. All these New Age Judaism people going out into the forests as Baidus with multicolored talisim, davening for 4 or 5 hours, singing. I only do that once every few months, I think. It's like it's hard to sustain. But we started off like that too, I guess. Not with the colored talis. I'm just saying we started off also like very religious. But they appear to be alive, and they're sincere. They believe in God. So Rav Kook says, "Be'emes midas ruchaniusam." The truth is that the midas haruchnius, the measure of ruchnius, hiraklefi oisa ha'erach shehem kshurim el ha'Torah. It can only be according to the connection that they have to Torah. It's hard to understand. Or it could be, Oloisim Shem Chaim Chayeter. We see, what do you mean, if we see in their lives that they're not connected to Torah, what do you mean? It depends on their connection to Torah. or it could be that they're connected to those who are living a life of Torah. There's a connection to those who are connected to Torah. But that also is something which can set a Jew on fire. The connection to Jews who are themselves Jews of Torah. Or the third possibility, the one that we understand most. Sheyesh behem b'seis and nishmasam eza oitzer shal yirusha ma'ashpoas chayetar. This we understand, of course, the most. It's only because Rav Kook says if a Jew can live a spiritual life and feel a deep connection to Hashem without Torah, is because a Jew is Molei Mitzvos Kerimayim. Because without his knowing, Yesh Behem B'Seis HaNishmasim, of course, the person is filled deep within himself. B'Seis HaNishmasim Eza Oitzer Shal Yerusha, a treasure of a Yerusha, of an inheritance. Me'ashpah is Chaya Torah, from the Hashpah of a life of Torah. Sha'avoseyim zochu lahem b'doros kedumim, that their ancestors were zoche to in the earlier generations. And oftentimes these people have, you don't have to go that far back in the past to find a strong connection. Of course, everybody goes back to, every Jew goes back to the Chayei HaTorah. But one doesn't necessarily have to go that far back to find the Oitzer, to find that treasure of this Yerusha of Ashpa's Chayei HaTorah. Comes from an earlier time. A time where the family was filled with Torah. That's why, as you know, we really can't go back too far in time. I mean, a Jew can't go back too far in time without finding Jews who were strongly attached to Torah mitzvahs. Now, I guess maybe it could be worded this way. To be able to sustain a spiritual, a heightened spiritual awareness, a connection to Hashem, for more than a few generations does not seem to be possible. It doesn't seem to be possible. It's possible to work off of, it seems possible to work off of two, tops, three generations that it was in the past, that two generations before, or three generations before, Jews who were Shomer Torah mitzvahs, so that there's still a faint, maybe not faint, but there's still a wire that's connecting to that world of Yiddishkeit, the world of Torah mitzvahs, of the Aseres HaDibros. But for somebody to continue with the Asara Ma'amaris, with the 10 utterances of creation, with the Kol HaPashit, for two, three generations without Torah mitzvahs, doesn't seem to be sustainable. Maybe there's some rare exceptions where you could find a Jew who could tell you that my parents were not from, my grandparents were not from, my great grandparents were not from. I hardly have ever met a person like that. There's someone say my great grandparents are not from. They're not Shomer Mitzvahs. It's very, very rare. There are some, but it's very, very unusual. Mostly you talk to people, you go into the house, they have a picture hanging of the grandparents or from people. It's very rare. So the light of Torah has such a koyach. It has such a koyach, and it can move beyond the present in such a way where you see that oftentimes by bnei shel kedoshim, that by the children especially of great tzaddikim, the grandchildren of great tzaddikim, seen this kaseida that it comes out at some point in different ways. It's a remarkable thing. It's a remarkable thing, especially the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren of tzaddikim. That there was a grandfather, a grandmother. There were people that were on fire. So there's still a warmth. And it goes on for it can go on for quite a bit of time. That's as far as regular Jews are concerned. Regular, nice, simple Jews. But the Talmidei Chachamim, Ha'imdim b'soid Hashem. Those Talmidei Chachamim who are able to understand the secrets of Hashem, meaning the deeper secrets of Torah. Now we're going something beyond, beyond Torah Shebichsav, simple Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh, Shas and Poskim, but those who are Omdim b'Soid Hashem. Dinam imrozei Torah, kedin kol ha'am im klal ha'Torah. Rav Kook is saying a remarkable thing, that those who are Omdim b'Soid Hashem, the air, the oxygen, the food, the life that they receive depends now not only on the regular nigla curriculum of Torah, but dinam imrozei Torah, their din, meaning their the reality of their lives, the relationship that they have with rozei Torah, with the secrets of Torah, is kedin kol ha'am im klal ha'Torah, is like the din of the general population of Jews with klal ha'Torah, with niglah, with the revealed Torah. Meaning, he muchrochem lekabel chayeim hayisoidim ayde shifas sisrei Torah. They must receive their basic vitality and life force and energy from the shefa, from the flowing bounty of the secrets of Torah. They must. And this, of course, is what we've seen throughout the Sefer, and then we saw some other Ma'amarim before the summer that we were learning, one particular long Ma'amar we were learning part of, we learned most of it, on the Inyan of Pnimius HaTorah. How Rav Kook saw this separation between the Talmid Chacham and Sisrei Torah and Pnimius HaTorah as the underlying cause of really of the entire darkness of Galus and all the tzoros that we're going through these last few moments of Galus. Talmid Chachamim cannot settle for Klal HaTorah. The leaders of Am Yisrael, of Kook writes over and over and over, Ha'omdim b'Soid Hashem, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Ha'omdim b'Soid Hashem, those who are the neshama of Klal Yisrael. The neshama of Klal Yisrael needs a certain diet of neshama. The rest of Klal Yisrael, simple Jews, they can go on and they could have chayim ruchniyim, they could have their level of spirituality that they receive from nigla of Torah, from the pshat of Torah, or on each one on his level they could receive. The diet is a simple diet. And for the simple Jew, the simple diet of Yiddishkeit is satisfying, is good, is healthy, it gives life. And they're able to even be, to feel some ruchnius and the davening and learning. You see simple Jews that the mamish filled with ruchnius and so on. But a person is oimed beside Hashem, a person who's already a Talmid Chacham, who's Meirosh Kaladaz B'nei Yisrael, who's already a Rosh, in that place of the Neshama, of the mind of the generation, because the Talmid Chacham of the generation, as we learned in Tanya, the Talmid Chacham generation of the eyes and the mind of Am Yisrael, so their diet, the diet needs to be more complicated. The diet is more advanced, and they cannot be fed, nor can they feed others, ruchnius, if it's just a matter of the pshat of Torah, of the simple pshat of Torah. And if we see that there are, then we could try to apply what Rav Kook said before, It means that either that the Zaydi or the elder Zaydi was Isaac in Pnimis HaTorah more, and there's a Yerusha, an Oitze B'Seis and Nishmasa, a connection to that, or perhaps we simply don't know. So you'll have people that will swear that the Chofetz Chaim was not learning Rosei Torah, and the other people swear that he knew all of the secrets of Torah. Usually the people who don't learn the secrets of Torah hold that others don't learn it either. I've seen that pattern throughout time. And those who are connected to Sisrei Torah, those tzaddikim are comfortable sharing that with them. There are certain tzaddikim who are very, very, very careful about how they cover these things. But we could understand that when somebody is on that madrega, there's a certain quota of ruchnias that a normal person wouldn't need. The greater the person, the more connected the person is to Sait Hashem, the greater the quota, the ongoing nourishment that he needs in Sait Hashem. And he can't just say, you know, I'm reverting back to the simple pshat, because in doing so he's cutting off his oxygen. You could say, what do you mean? Why is he any different now than a simple Jew? And the answer to that is obvious. A simple Jew is exactly that. He's simple. You can't be something else and pretend to be simple. That's a sheker. It's a lie, and it doesn't work. For many people, that's the easiest thing to do, but it doesn't work. So the Chayim HaYisoidim, Himuchrochim L'Kabel Chayim HaYisoidim, they must receive their basic life. So you'd say, what do you mean basic life? It means just like a Chumash Rashi, a Black Gemara. They're already hooked up to something else, and that's their life force. And if they're not receiving that, then the simple pshat of Torah is not going to satisfy them. And then all that we were learning about before the summer, that Maimar on Pnimius HaTorah, begins to take place, and the generation is lost, and the Tamir Chachamim are not leading Am Yisrael in a healthy, clear way. Siv Zayin. Kishem she'ein Knesset Yisrael Meitzia El Aporel Eskul Eseha Kim De'eret Yisrael. The same way that we can't be, that Knesset Yisrael cannot really bring out all of her kaychas unless we're in Eretz Yisrael. This is what's leading us into the final parak. The connection between Eretz Yisrael and Torah, or what occupied Rav Kook, particularly the last part of his life, more than anything else, Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Kishem she'en Knesset Yisrael Meitzia El Hapoel Eskul Esekim Eretz Yisrael. The same way that the Jewish people cannot truly bring into reality all of her kaychas, the skulas, all of the deep kaychas of who we are, we can't really bring that out, ki'im be'eretz Yisrael, unless we're in our place, ki'im be'eretz Yisrael. Kein ein odem Yisrael moitzi es kulois of haruchaniyos, ki'im ha'idei ha'tar. So too, an Adam Yisrael cannot bring out the hidden skulois, the hidden karchis of ruchnis that he has, kim ayde hatar, unless it's ayde hatar, unless it's lutar. Shehi haaretz haruchanis, because the Torah itself is the land, is the earth, the land, the spiritual land. Just as Eretz Yisrael is our Yerusha that we received through the Avos and the Imahos, so too the Torah is our Yerusha in Ruchnius. This entire system has to be coordinated. And the way that the system is coordinated, where everything is plugged in properly, is Jews learning Kol HaTorah Kula in a healthy way, including Pnimius HaTorah, of course, in Eretz Yisrael. That's the ideal. That's the ideal. Now, how we survived through all the long years of Galus, and not only did we survive, but we have the Talmud Bavli, and Galus brought forth great, great people all the way to our time. We're going to talk more about that in the next part. With all of the greatness of the Torah of Chutz La'aretz, it's still called B'machashakim HaYeshivani Kimeisei Olam. It's still called darkness compared to Torah Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon described our state, and who was greater than the Vilna Gaon in the generations of the Acharonim as far as Torah is concerned? The Vilna Gaon saw us in Chutz La'aretz as already having died. And all that's sustaining us now, keeping us alive, is the kusta de chiyusa, is like the luz. We're already in the dust. We're already in the grave, and we're just managing because of that little mysterious drop of life that's left in the bones after a person dies. That's who we are in Chutz La'aretz. The Gaon writes that. So you could say the film of Gaon says such a thing. He seemed to be very alive. He wasn't talking only about other people. He never went there to sell. He wanted to. He set out on a journey, but he didn't get there. But the Torah of the Vilna Gaon was Torah to sell. Just like Yechezkel HaNavi was able to have a nevuah in Chutz La'aretz because he had been in Eretz Yisrael, and his entire existence was connected to Eretz Yisrael. The first piece in the iris on Eretz Yisrael is that either by living in Eretz Yisrael or by having a deep longing for Eretz Yisrael, can one have a connection to Torah Eretz Yisrael? If one is not living in Eretz Yisrael, then unless there's a great longing for Eretz Yisrael, the Torah is not a Torah Eretz Yisrael. And since the Torah Eretz Yisrael is unique in its prophetic quality, we're going to talk a lot about that, that's the whole next paragraph. That's its uniqueness, its prophetic quality. There's something me'eva, there's something beyond the seichel that's at play in Eretz Yisrael, because it's the place of nevuah, it's the place of our existence. In Chutz La'aretz, unless a person has a deep, deep connection to Eretz Yisrael, a deep longing to Eretz Yisrael, he's not able to bring out all the koiches and all the schoolers of what it means to be a Jew. So either living in Eretz Yisrael or being in Chutz La'aretz and longing for Eretz Yisrael can produce a person or a people that are bringing out the koiches and the schoolers of who they are. So what has taken place, and especially we see this in recent times, is that in Chutz La'aretz we're able to have unusually strong maizdis of Torah, Baruch Hashem, very strong institutions of Torah, and institutions are growing. And all of our from publications are constantly, and rightfully, pointing with pride to the many, many institutions that are popping up each and every year, and there's much to be proud of. Unbelievable amount to be proud of. The problem is that while the institutions are multiplying and growing, the individuals who occupy them are shrinking. For the most part, the individual, as an individual, the yachid is not strong, is not healthy. So you could have people that pour askanim, good Jews that pour a tremendous amount of energy into making sure that a shul is lit up and air-conditioned, but the davening doesn't do it for them. The connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu is not strong. Even though there's a beautiful, beautiful rotzen to build moizdes, but as far as the individual is concerned, we've never seen such a thing. such a weakness on the individual's part, while as a tzibur, there's a tremendous amount of strength. So, if the Ruchnius, once the Yeshuv of Golus becomes over time so completely detached from Eretz Yisrael and his longing for Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard for that light of Pnimius to shine brightly. It's very, very, very hard. It's not only the Inyan of Eretz Yisrael. We're just learning about this now, but that's a very, very major part of all of this. The Tzadikim HaPnimim, or how Rav Kook calls them in the Oris HaKadosh, the Mistaklim HaElyonim, those who look at things differently, the Mistaklim HaElyonim, the Bali HaPnimis, those who are connected to HaOmdim B'Sayin Hashem, are always on fire with Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Shem Tov and the Gra were both headed to Eretz Yisrael. What happened on the way? Each one is a different story. One got stuck in Amsterdam, the other got stuck in Istanbul, and there are unbelievable secrets and things that happened that didn't allow them to continue, which clearly was not the time for Mashiach to come. So the Goyim couldn't make it there to sell, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh couldn't make it there to sell. Rabbi Nachum made it to Eretz Yisrael in the strangest way, and what happened. And the second he got there, he got off the boat, he came to the ground, he says, okay, let's go, I'm ready to go back. And the fire was extinguished. So without Eretz Yisrael, there needs to at least be a tremendous connection to Eretz Yisrael. Without the Metzius of living in Eretz Yisrael. So now we could have another thing, you could have Jews that live in Eretz Yisrael and don't feel connected to it either. So it's a strange situation. You have some Jews that live in Chutz Lars and they dream of being in Eretz Yisrael, and you have Jews in Eretz Yisrael that dream of being in Chutz Lars. The Mishlochim come, they sit down in the office, they lean back, and they don't want to go anywhere. So what's the matter with you? He says, oh, I'm so good to be in New York. I have this all the time. Oh, do I? How would I have over there? Yeah, people are nice. Some high, go over there, make me crazy. I can't take it. Right, part of it is due to the fact that he's tired of doing, you know, he just went through his 78,000th sponger, you know. And he's, he's had it, you know, life in Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. Jews and Chutz Laretz, they want to be in Eretz Yisrael. Jews and Eretz Yisrael want to be Chutz Laretz. Not everybody is like that here, not everybody's like that there, but there's a problem. There's somebody that I was on the phone with yesterday who has been dreaming about going on Aliyah for like 25 years and finally made it there. And I spoke to him yesterday. I said, how's it going? He says, we're managing. That made me sad. I thought it was going to be something like, we're flying. It's never been better. It's the fulfillment of our life's dreams. He said, managing. Managing is not such a harsh of a thing. I mean, it's better than not managing, but it's still not like, you know, it's like not, this is my dream come true. Managing? Imagine you talk to Chosin Kali after Shabbos, how's it going? We're managing? Oh, it's not so nice, we're managing. It's managing. So it made me sad. Why? It came to the mitzvahs of certain things. I saw this in my father's old business when he picked up and we moved to Eretz Yisrael. Right after my bar mitzvah, we went to Eretz Yisrael. My father got us together. He said, we're going. I had enough over here with the guy, I'm finished. That was the entire speech, pretty much. And then we found out that he already contacted all these different things and he already did all the paperwork, and he just told us, including my mother. He just told us that, like, you know, it's time to go. Finished. And this was not fueled by anything political. It was fueled by a real, sincere a real sincere desire to go back to our place. It was. As much as I can remember things clearly from those days, it's all my father was talking about. We didn't think that we'd ever go, but it was all my father was talking about. Everything was Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. When we lived there, I can't even say that my father felt he was managing. I don't think he was managing. It didn't go well. And different, whatever, different, why is it and what? It's not important, but it didn't go well. So, when these two come together, meaning when we're able to live in Eretz Yisrael and still long for Eretz Yisrael, there are Jews like that, from all camps, not just from the Misnachlim, not just from Rav Kook's spiritual heirs, not just from the Hasdei Chevra, from them, we see by them very strong, but by very beautiful old Yerushalmim and Bnei Brakas that are deeply, deeply connected to the land, that can't bear leaving the land, who dream of Eretz Yisrael and eat Eretz Yisrael and breathe Eretz Yisrael. There are many Jews from all Chugim that are like that. So then we could be might see our school as a Ruchanias. But it has to be both. It has to be Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Torah is Eretz Yisrael. That's the subject of the next chapter. That's the subject really about all that we've been learning about the last few years. Shehi ha'aretz ha'ruchanis hamati'im l'skulas ha'neshama ha'yisraelis. Because that is the spiritual land that is fertile, that is particular, and that befits the school of Sanashami Yisraelis, the growth, the healthy growth of that school of the Neshama Yisraelis, of the school of a Yiddish Neshama. That is the earth, the Torah. Is the Eretz HaRuchanis HaMatim L'School of Sanashama HaYisraelis. Just like Eretz Yisrael is the physical land that contains within it the side, the secret of Am Yisrael, and therefore that physical land is the only physical place in the universe where we could truly prosper and grow into who we are supposed to be. So too, the Torah is the spiritual earth, the spiritual land. She ha'aretz ha'aretz haruchanis amatim l'skulas haneshama ha'yisraelis. So a person who is spiritual but is not connected to Torah, there's something else that's going on. Could be what we learned about a little bit earlier in the list, see if what kind of a connection it is. There's another interesting thing that we find, that there are Jews who are spiritual and they don't have an apparent, because we don't really see, but they don't have an apparent connection to Torah and mitzvahs. But they have a deep longing for Eretz Yisrael. It's also an interesting phenomenon. A deep longing for Eretz Yisrael. People are not religious, but a tremendous longing for Eretz Yisrael. That too is itself, that is also, on a deeper level, a connection to Pnimius HaTorah, and can bring about some Ruchnius of a Jew. Even a connection to Eretz Yisrael, where there's no apparent attachment to Torah. Because Eretz Yisrael is Torah. We're going to be learning more about that. There's a famous Arve Nachal in Parsha Shlach. He talks about Kiryat Sefer. Asniel ben Knaz had the conquest of each piece of Eretz Yisrael. is conquering another piece of Torah. Kiryat Sefer. Now, every piece of Eretz Yisrael is a Gemara Rashi Tosfos, is a Maharsha, is a Biki Vega, is a Pasuk in Navi. Every piece of Eretz Yisrael is Torah. In Chutz La'aretz, every piece of Chutz La'aretz is just a piece of Geshem, of Gashmis. You remember the old song that was sung about the Kaisel when we got it back? Yesh Anoshim im Leib Shalevin, the people have a heart of stone, Yesh Avonim im Leib Adam, and there are stones that have a heart of a human being. The stones of Eretz Yisrael, the stones of Eretz Yisrael are Ruchnis. If a person doesn't have that connection to Torah, together with Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard to see that. But there are Jews who are very, very Eretz Yisrael dick. They're very, very deeply connected to Eretz Yisrael. And it gives them a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They feel some kind of a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just that they feel there's something. So you can say, the Kash is ice without Torah. They're not people of Torah, So Kodim Kol, it goes back to the last year, that there is a connection to Torah in the Stama. There is something. But Eretz Yisrael itself is a shtickle Torah. Eretz Yisrael is itself also a piece of Torah. Now, there's something very, very scary that's happening because there are Jews who are secular Jews in Eretz Yisrael who don't feel connected to the land. It wasn't so long ago where a typical secular Israeli was fiercely connected to the land and was devoted to protecting the land and felt the need to participate in that. That too is waning. That too is weaker than it used to be. It was the old time secular chalutzim, Zionists, that even though that certainly is not an ideal of Yiddishkeit, it's far from the ideal of Yiddishkeit. They were not from. But they had a certain ruchnius about them. They fought over Jewish things, even if they were against it. But they weren't apathetic. They fought about Jewish things. They were arguing in Mamelash. They were upset about Yiddishkeit. They were upset with what they felt was wrong with Yiddishkeit. They made many mistakes. So do we. But they were upset with what they felt was wrong with Yiddishkeit, and they were seeking another way to connect to the Borei Olam. They were looking for another way to connect to Am Yisrael and to bring Am Yisrael together. That's not the same thing as some Israeli sitting in a cafe in Dizengoff trying to figure out how they can get to Manila or Tokyo or something. It's not the same thing. Or that he's sick and tired of the army. No one blames anybody for anything. It's not the same thing. The old-time Zionists, there was a passion. They had a strong passion for Eretz Yisrael, which for them was their connection to Am Yisrael. And it was their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though this is not true. I couldn't care less about any of these things. I don't believe in any of these things. That's not important to me. So why are you getting so worked up about this piece of real estate? Such an inyan. I'm seeing nowadays as much. There are people like that also. There are people like that. So the idea that they had to make this birthright thing, to get Jews somehow to Eretz Yisrael, that it's coming from secular people, or there's a lot of money that's being poured in by secular people to try to get Jews to visit Eretz Yisrael. I think that's a Dabar Shebekdusha. I think it's a very holy thing. There's something to that. It's a very, very deep thing. So the Taina is this way, Jews get to Eretz Yisrael, they'll feel more of a shaychus to other Jews, and they'll see. In other words, there is this sense that the last hope, the last little piece of chut, of string that's connecting a Jew to Judaism, is Eretz Yisrael. What's chaval is that if that would be combined with Tyrus Eretz Yisrael, then it would be a complete winning proposition. Okay, but they're not open, they're not hearing that, so that's not something that they're familiar with. But the fact that there's a great longing or a great awareness, kihi beis chayenu, that Eretz Yisrael is a place, is the place of our existence, that too is something that shouldn't be just laughed at. It's narishkeit. It's not narishkeit. It's a chashuva thing, the feeling the Jews have for Eretz Yisrael. It's a very deep and holy thing. It's not some political thing, like a guy that just that is interested in his homeland. It's Torah. There's something about it that's Torah. It's to understand what that is not so positive, but it's Torah. It's Kiryat Sefer. Kiryat Sefer means the town of the book. Every piece of Eretz Yisrael is Torah. So the longing to have Eretz Yisrael to ourselves is on a deeper level the longing to have a connection to Teres Hashem. And we need great people to help to make that happen. The answer is not just to move to Eretz Yisrael, just like the answer is not just to learn Torah and Chutz Lanz. The tachlis is Torah and Eretz Yisrael. That's the tachlis. You wanted to say something?
That's the current battle that's going on in the Knesset about funding yeshiva bachim that are coming from Chutz Lanz. They were Lapid, wants to cancel it, and he was voted down because the Belkrim that come, a lot of them stay and come back and stay in Eretz Yisrael.
That's also a chashuva thing. You see that this is a problem that it used to be that in the beginning with the Zionism in the 20th century, so a large bulk of the people that were coming to Eretz Yisrael were no longer religious. There was the old Yishuv, and then there was a tremendous push among the secular who were looking for some other connection. They were no longer connected to Shabbos. They were looking for a connection to Am Yisrael, to Hashem. So they got involved in, like many of those big neshamas, they got involved in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the Menachem Begins and the Ben Gurion and so on. So this became their ruchnias. This became their Torah, Eretz Yisrael. But now you see that the ones who are going to Eretz Yisrael, for the most part, I don't know what the numbers are, but I would assume that the ones who are going in Aliyah now, the vast majority, is it incorrect to say? I don't know. That the vast majority are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, the ones who are moving to Eretz Yisrael? I think so. I've come across that this is, I just don't remember what they are. But I think if you go to a Nefesh B'Nefesh thing, if you go to like a Nefesh B'Nefesh meeting and the people are getting ready to go, or you greet the airplanes when they come to Eretz Yisrael, aren't most of them with the yarmulkes? And,
most of them. There are.
No, I know there are. But I'm saying there are secular people too. I understand. Huh? Not most?
I don't think the vast majority.
Not vast, but the most.
A lot.
Maybe there's a study of that. I'd be curious to see. But I would. That's why I said I'm not sure about VAS, but most of them are Shomer Mitzvahs, and certainly as far as the yearly quota of chevra that are going, that the yeshiva bachim and so on. Again, I don't know how many are going these days. The secular kibbutzim used to be in the old days, even when I was younger, that there were a lot of Jews that they went from the conservative and they went from the reform. Maybe there's still. I don't know. That go, you know, to kibbutz and that go to Hebrew University and that go on different programs. I remember reading that these programs are suffering terribly, and that the kids that are coming are mostly religious kids. They're looking for yeshivas and seminaries, and the old programs and the kibbutzim and the universities are not doing well. I don't remember where I read that, but I read an article someplace about it. They realize that this is where they're getting people to come and to stay eventually. In the yeah,
they're desperate.
Yeah, they realize it because the old fire of Zionism is just like the kibbutz movement is just gasping for air. That whole connection of Arts Alino, you know, is it's not what it used to be. It's not what it used to be. So there are some people that when they see these, you know, there are people when they see these kind of, let's say, secular programs or secular things for HSL, they get all upset. It's not, what is this? It's Tomei. It's not this. It's not that. I always felt that certainly it's not a replacement, Chas v'Shalom, but that is something. that a connection to Eretz Yisrael is a deep thing, to feel a connection to Eretz Yisrael. It's a very deep thing. It's not stam. A person of a Jew wants to be in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to visit Eretz Yisrael.
It's what kept most Soviet Jews too.
Right? All the time that they were there in Russia, the machteris, the underground in Russia, was very Zionistic. That's the Metzius. Maybe, you know, afterwards if anything came out, and then you don't know about that, but that's really, that was the studying the Ivrit and the connection to Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, Golda Meir stopping by to say hi and stuff like that. There was very much the fuel that provided the energy that led, of course, then to studying Torah and Yiddishkeit and Baruch Hashem, and then going wanting to identify with other Jews and going to shul. I remember there's one of the most beautiful pieces in that amazing book, The Prime Ministers, you know, the what's the name, Yehuda Avner, I don't remember. Avner? That's an amazing book. So, when Golda Meir, you remember when Golda Meir came to Moscow? I was so touched by that. And I'm not the big Golda Meir fan. Not with her politics, not with her explanation of Tysus either. But she went there, and at that time it was still the Iron Curtain, and how this took place and the whole story of how Jews were able to get together by the shul in Moscow, and they were filled with KGB people all over the place. And when she came there, Golda. So at that time, she was the ambassador, I think, in the United Nations, which, something like that. So she came to Moscow to the shul, and it was before Yom Kippur. She said it was the most uplifting Yom Kippur that she ever had. But the touching thing was that everybody wanted to touch her. Everybody was going after her, and they were calling Goldila, Goldila, all these Russian Jews. And she said they were calling out to her. Thank you for remembering us. Thank you for remembering us. And she said, "Adank, thank you for remaining Jews." That's what she said. Mm-hmm. It's a chashuv thing.
A different generation.
Yeah.
Rabbi Menachem Begin's rally in Tel Aviv. He's in town to my grandfather. There was a bunch of the Turkish Hatzah making
you run the seat. With Menachem Begin?
Yeah,
where? Here?
On the stage in Tel Aviv.
Oh, Tel Aviv.
He turned to my grandfather, because my grandfather was from. He turned to my grandfather and said, "At least I know that their grandchildren will be."
Yeah, I've heard that.
Jewish.
Will just be Jewish.
He pointed to the chevra on the stage. He said, "By then."
We don't know what's going to be. Yeah. You see, these people, they felt that Golda Meir was a link, was a connection. Eretz Yisrael to being Jews. It wasn't a political thing. They just wanted to come near her. They wanted to touch her. Because for her, she was like Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from the mountain. They wanted to have a connection with her. She understood that. And she said, "Thank you for remaining, that you remained Jews. That you remained Jews all these years." So you could just poo-poo, make it like it's nothing. It's not. That's not nothing. The person has to look at these things and try to. It's a very, very deep thing with a Jew, this Inyan. A righteous soul. It's a piece of Torah. It's a piece of Torah. Kol ha-madayim, the last words of the parak. Kol ha-madayim doimim heim luchutz laretz. All of the other subjects, all of the secular subjects, all sciences and secular subjects, they're like chutz laretz. Biology and literature and art and music and science, v'chul v'chul, all of that is chutz laretz dik. Those are pieces of chutz laretz. So you see in the streets, and there was a letter that I got yesterday from somebody at Israel. No, actually it wasn't a letter, somebody, there was an email that was sent to somebody to give to me. And it says on the bottom, it says over there the address, Rehov Rabbi Nachman of Breslov 7. I said, "That's such a nice name for a street. I live on Midwood Road." Rehov Rabbi Nachman of Breslov 7. Is the Yofi. Rehov Rabbi Nachman of Breslov 7. In Monroe, you go, so they had the streets named President Roosevelt, President Jackson, President Washington, the streets. And that's a place that's a holy place of Jews. They had some control over the names that they gave. We don't have over here control. If you go in there, it's a cell, it's called Rechov Rabbi Nachman Breslov Sheva. When I lived in Nathanya, I lived in Rechov Mechemesh Sheshet Hayamin, Esrim Sheva. The 6 Day War Street. Jews name streets like that. Makes you tired just going out of your apartment. Rechov Mechemesh Sheshet Hayamin. 27, that's where we live. Rechov Mechemesh Sheshet Hayamin. That's what my father said. Rechov Mechemesh Sheshet Hayamin. The problem is when he wanted to get a taxi going home, the taxi driver didn't know what he was talking about. But that's where we live. Here in Chutzlar, the earth is a piece of President Washington, which is, it's nice. Science, biology, myth, physics, and it's a soul. Shechov Rebbe Nachman Breslov 7. Rechov Baal Shem Tov. On Yerushalayim, Rechav Tzvanya, Rechav Yechezke, Rechav Yoel. No? Yirmiyah. There's a Shai Lubesant in the Mishnah Halachas. He has a tshuva, the Rabban Asher Kainzach, he has a tshuva. There was a Chassid Shayyid that had an opportunity to get a beautiful home in South America. In those days, in Uruguay, there was a nice Jewish community, and he had an opportunity, maybe there still is, I don't know, but he had an opportunity to get a beautiful home in a beautiful location, and he wrote a shaila to Rav Menashe Klein, because he didn't know what to do, because the address was, the street was Jesus Christ. So this poor Jew, he got like this deal on a house, and he wrote to Rav Menashe Klein, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do, I want to buy this house, I can write over there. You have to write on the letter, Rechav Yashke, Rechav Oysayish. Oysayish Street, how do you say street in Spanish? Huh?
Calle.
So you can write there, he's going to write Oysayish. He has to write, so Rav Menashe Klein says, you can't live in such a place to buy a house, but live on a street like that. But that's our life in Chutzlar. So here it's not like that, so this is called Woodmere Boulevard. If you dig deep enough, that's also not what it is.
There you have a called Lincoln.
And so you have a building. Yeah, that's where you have where the King David Hotel is over there. George Washington. Well, that's how it is, the Israelis. It's the same thing. Like I said, Israelis want to be in Chutzlar. Israelis want to be over there. Call Hamadom Doimahim Lechutzlar. It's Bichusam El Hagidl Hanishmasi Asheli. So I think it's the key is in those last words. Of course it is. But Bichusam, it's still a lower secondary Madrega compared to Nishmas Yisrael, for sure. So Netz Yisrael, those are like little simtar, little side streets. But the main thoroughfares are Torah. Chutz La'aretz is the sciences and so on. Yeah, of course, it's Torah and Derech Eretz. But the Chutz La'aretz is those, everything is Torah. Everything is Torah Hashem. But where the Torah Hashem is covered beneath the sciences, beneath the veneer of other things, so there's also a little bit of a hasta upon him. So that's a more chutzlaritz thing. It's a soul is Torah. It's a soul is all Torah. Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to begin next week the main point of the entire sefer, which is Torah's chutzlaritz and Torah's Eretz Yisrael.